Amen. You may question God's ways, but don't question his motives. Amen. God is good. We've had that reminder twice tonight in song. Amen. Appreciate your faithfulness tonight. If you turn to Genesis 19, Genesis 19, we've had a hiatus from this, but we've been in a series on Wednesday night. If you've forgotten, it's called Faith Like the Fathers. And those people from long ago, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, they were people just like we are, and subject to like passions, James says. The thing that made the difference is they put their faith and trust fully in God. Our format's a little different on Wednesday night, so you can remain seated. But I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about tonight. Saved from Sodom. Saved from Sodom. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, these are your people. They've come. They've gathered to worship you. And we've prayed, Lord, for the needs. And now, God, may we leave here challenged in our hearts of the reality of your word and how you don't hide the things you're going to do from your servants, but you have revealed those things to your servants, Lord. Anoint me to share in Jesus' name. Amen. I need some congregational participation tonight. Everyone ready to help me? I'm going to ask you a question. You just holler out, okay? So when I mention the words Sodom and Gomorrah, what do you think of? Sodom and Gomorrah. Salt, fire, brimstone, evil. Somebody else? Sodomy, wickedness. Okay. Pardon? Sin. All of those, if you'll notice, the thing that keeps coming up, we could categorize all of those things into two categories: wickedness and judgment. And the judgment was there because of the wickedness. Do you realize that for 4,000 years, that's how people have understood Sodom and Gomorrah? When they hear the words for 4,000 years, when people have heard the words Sodom and Gomorrah, they think of sin and they think of judgment. And yet we are living in a time that that concept is likely to be erased. Not just because of the world isn't biblically literate, but because we're living in a time when the modern church is trying to obliterate that kind of thinking and terminology from their message. After 4,000 years. See, here's the point. God intended Sodom and Gomorrah to be an abiding lesson to humanity. Sodom and Gomorrah happened because God wanted humanity to get that lesson. Sin is judged. Now listen, since it's been a while, let me just quickly review. You remember Abraham had those three extraordinary visitors, made dinner for him. They told him and his wife they're going to have a child in 9 months. They get ready to leave, and Abraham walks with them. As they walk down the path towards the horizon, one of these, who in all probability was God manifest himself, said, "I can't hide from Abraham the thing I'm about to do. Because of Sodom and Gomorrah's wickedness, I'm going to destroy them." And I want to ask you something. Do you remember I told you at the time, and I know you've read this, but I told you at the time that when that one stopped to talk to Abraham, and Abraham engaged in that intercession, "Oh, don't destroy the city, don't destroy it," and went on down to 10. How many remember we told you in the story that the other two of the three walked on? Remember that? They walked on. Where did they go? Where did those other two go when Abraham stood there and interceded with God to save Sodom for the sake of Lot? Well, here's where they went. Look at Genesis 19, verse 1. "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, Sodom. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And while he lingered, the men, this is verse 16, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now listen, here's the point. We're talking about Abraham. So why in the world are we talking about Sodom and Gomorrah? That's about Lot. We're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, first of all, because Abraham interceded that Lot would be saved when Sodom was judged, and God heard Abraham's prayers and brought Lot out. And so that's what faith will do. We can pray and God can move in the hearts of those that are lost. But visiting the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, we see that God wanted Abraham to get the message of judgment and mercy. The judgment came upon Sodom, and Lot received the mercy. God wanted Abraham to get that message, and 4,000 years later, he wants us to get that message. He's a God of judgment, and he's a God of mercy. Now, I'm going to tell you the story quickly, but I read some of this, but those two angels arrived at Sodom at sundown. That would be in a message itself, Sodom at sundown. And right away, they ran into Lot because he was sitting in the gates of the city. He didn't really fit in, but probably because of his wealth, he had that position there at the gates, a position of prominence. And when Lot sees these strangers, he knows what the inhabitants of Sodom are going to try to do with them. And so he invites them into his home to spend the night. And they protest and said, no, we'll just sleep out here in the city square. We'll find a park bench and we'll sleep on a park bench. But Lot insists that they stay with him because he knows the danger of Sodom. They concede and they go home with Lot, and Lot prepares them a meal, and afterwards they're sitting around the table, you know, after meal talk. But while they're talking around the table, the mob outside is growing. It's a mob of the male inhabitants of Sodom. And just as Lot and his guests were about to go to bed, these men of that mob begin to call out to Lot and say, those men you took in for the night, bring them out to us so we can have relations with them. And what they were desiring were things of unspeakable perversion. Lot went to the door and he shut it behind him, and he tried to identify with them. He called them brothers, which he should have never been a brother to the inhabitants of Sodom. And he said, brothers, don't do something that wicked. If you're set on your lust this evening, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bring out my two virgin daughters and let you have your way with them. I don't know which is worse, the perversion of the men of Sodom and what they wanted to do, or the twistedness of a father who would suggest and offer his own pure daughters to be recipients of perversion. You can almost see how the men of Sodom would be that perverse, but you're wondering how Lot, raised in Abraham's household, raised as a person of faith, raised with the knowledge of the true God, how did Lot get that messed up? Well, I didn't want to interrupt the story, but that's important. I mean, the point is, Lot had lost all conviction. And so this mob, they tried to push Lot out of the way and get in through the door, and they start making fun of Lot and said, you're just an alien and a foreigner amongst us. Don't you try to judge us. And Lot continues to try to hold them off, but they continue to press upon him. And the door, until the door was just at the point, it was about to give way. At that point, these two guests reveal that they're not ordinary men, they're angels. They quickly open the door, grab Lot, pull him inside, and they supernaturally strike the men of Sodom with blindness. Here's how awful the perversion was. The Bible says that even after the men of Sodom had been stricken with blindness, they continued to try to get into the house and get at the guests. That's how perverted they were in their lust. The angels inside said to Lot, you've got to get out of here. Get your whole family together and get quickly out of the city because we are going to destroy this city. God has judged and condemned the city and commanded that we raise it to the ground. You got to get out of here. They said, do you have any other of your family? And Lot said, and there's some dispute here, but this is probably how it was. Lot said, well, I don't have any more family here, but my two daughters have fiancés in the city. I'll go talk to them. And the Bible said Lot went and tried to tell them the angel's warning and get them to join his family and flee in the city. And the Bible says they laughed at Lot. They thought that was the silliest thing they ever heard. This tells us something about Lot's testimony that the fiancés of his daughter wouldn't even believe the things that he was saying about God and judgment. Lot went back home and the night passed and Lot still didn't leave Sodom. The sun is beginning to come up, and the angel spoke again and said, get up, get moving, hurry, get your wife, get your daughters, and get out of here before you're destroyed with the city. And Lot dallied still. He stalled. He still didn't go until it came to the point the angels actually had to take Lot and his wife and his daughters by the hand and drag them out of the house and drag them out of the city. And out of the city, the angels then told the family, run for your lives. Don't look back. Head for the mountain. Now, I want you to see here in the Bible story how great Lot's lack of awareness of how serious of a situation this was. He's already dallied all this time. He's already dragged his feet of getting out of the city. And when the angels get him out of the city and said, run for the mountain, he said, do I have to go to the mountain? That's a long ways away. But he reveals himself. Do you remember when Abraham gave him his choice of the mountain pastures or the well-watered plain? Lot said, I've had enough of the mountains. I want the well-watered plain. That's how he got in Sodom. And so now his reluctance to go back to the mountain is really his reluctance to go back to the life and the lifestyle he had living in faith with Abraham. And instead he said, now look, and this is how people do. I mean, God's judging not just Sodom and Gomorrah, but other cities right there in the plain. And Lot said, oh, don't make me go to the mountain. There's just this little bitty city over here. See, he still has this taste for city life. Even though it's got him in trouble, it's got his family in danger, he still has a taste for worldly living. And he said, it's just a little one. How many people have spoken to God like that? It's just a little thing. Can't I just go? The city's name was Zoar, which actually means little city. And even here, God shows mercy. And the angel says, yes, you can go in that city. And hurry and get in that city because judgment is coming. I won't destroy the city till you're inside Zoar. The sun had risen to noon, and Lot entered into Zoar, and fire began to fall from heaven. You can try to describe this in natural terms of earthquakes and volcanoes and all of that. There is indication in that area of sulfur and what we would call tar today. Could have been lightning. All I know, it was supernatural. And great lightning bolts begin to hit the city. Brimstone, that's burning sulfur, begin to fall upon the cities. Begin to burn them and destroy them. Now, I'm not going to show you any picture, but let me briefly tell you here. You've got a picture in your mind what the Dead Sea area looks like today. And some of you have been there. It's desert. It's barren. Birds don't even fly over the Dead Sea. There's not a living thing in the Dead Sea. There's no living things around the Dead Sea. But did you know God in his word described the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah before their destruction that they were like Eden? That's how fertile they were. Did you know also the Dead Sea is the lowest place on earth? The water itself is 1,200 feet deep and it's 1,200 feet below sea level. Where is Sodom and Gomorrah today? Probably under a portion of the Dead Sea. But the judgment was so thorough, it looks like the earth just took in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's the most desolate. The place that had been like Eden is one of the most desolate places on earth today. That's how thorough the judgment of God was. The next morning, Abraham revisited the spot. where he had interceded for Lot. And he looked out those distant miles towards Sodom and Gomorrah in the plain. And he saw these plumes and columns of smoke rising everywhere from the plain and from the cities. He didn't know if Lot had been saved or not. I think he had a feeling that he knew God was a merciful God. Amen. I know one thing. Abraham was glad that he prayed. Look at verse 29. And it came to pass that when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelled. Because Abraham prayed, God got Lot out of Sodom. How many believes that could still take place in the time we live in? How many believes we could pray about some folks and God could get them out of Sodom? Here, quickly, I'm not going to take long. We've got a late start tonight, but quickly, let me give you some truths here. First of all, God does and will judge. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah because they had done every kind of wickedness. We usually only focus on their homosexuality, but Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked in every way. They were exceedingly wicked, the Bible says. Homosexuality and the desire to take advantage of these visitors was just one example of how evil and Sodom and Gomorrah had become. But how many cannot make the parallel between the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah and our own society and culture here in America? See, we got to get the lesson God intended us to get. God will and he does judge sin. Amen. But the lesson of Sodom and Gomorrah is there's a time when God says that's enough. See, Sodom and Gomorrah didn't get evil overnight and just be evil for a week. They had gotten increasingly evil week after week, month after month. But there came a time God says that's enough. Now, I know this sounds real old-fashioned like a calamity hour, but I'm going to tell you it'll be that way with America too. There'll be a time God says that's enough. Because he will and he does judge. Think of Ananias and Sapphira. When the church began, they lied to the Holy Spirit and to Peter, and God slew Ananias and Sapphira. Right? How many knows there's still people lying in church? How many's glad God still isn't killing people for lying? But see, there had to be an Ananias and Sapphira for people to realize, even in the church, God is serious about judging sin. And there are still, like there's still Ananias and Sapphira in the church. There's still Sodom and Gomorrah, but God has already given us the lesson of what ultimately happens. God has warned the world through the destruction of Sodom. Here's a second truth tonight. Humanity needs judged. I heard someone even today on a clip say, well, everybody does bad. And in the end, God's going to forgive everybody. Everybody's going to make it to heaven. I want to tell you, humans can do some very vile, wicked, perverted, evil things. And humanity needs judged. Our story tonight shows us just how wicked people can get. And I want to call your attention to this one more time and we'll move on. But the modern church, and I challenge you, you could study this, look it up. The modern church is doing everything it can to get rid of words like judgment and hell and torment and fire, to get them out of the Christian vocabulary. Never let them be a part of the message. What do they think Sodom and Gomorrah is about? God gave us Sodom and Gomorrah to be a part of the message, so we know that humanity needs to be judged. It is evil. It is wicked. Amen. You know, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, what about Hitler? Do you really want Hitler not to be judged? What about child rapists? Do you really not want them to be judged? Now, I want to tell you this before we put this scale up here and say Hitler's over here and Billy Graham's over here and I'm closer to Billy Graham than I am to Hitler, so I'm okay and I don't need judged. Let me tell you, we may not have done those perverted, vile things, but in the end, every human needed judged for their sin. That's what Christ is all about. We didn't get what we deserved. And if Hitler had have honestly repented, God would have forgiven him as well. Amen. And the last truth I want to share with us tonight, God makes a way of escape. I don't know if you had your Bibles open there, but when it said the angels took Lot by the hand, it gave this explanation: the Lord being merciful unto him. Hallelujah. Yes, there's awful sin. Yes, God will judge that sin. But God has always made a way of escape. And his way of escape is Jesus Christ and his cross. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says, how shall we escape if we neglect that great salvation? So what are we going to take home tonight? First of all, God must be taken seriously about this judgment thing. God's not joking. I want to ask you a question. How often do you think judgment is preached in today's churches? Is it very often? How about hell? Jesus spoke of hell more than heaven. One of the main subjects he spoke on. And yet we're told that we should eradicate that out of church and out of preaching. But you see, when Abraham heard judgment was coming, he took God seriously. He knew God meant what he said. And Abraham began to intercede for Lot. Lot didn't take it serious, even when the angels came to get him. His wife didn't take it serious. The fiancés didn't take it serious. His daughters didn't take it serious. And Lot was raised in church. God must be taken seriously. The second truth about judgment, the second truth we want to take home is the end time world will be like Sodom and Gomorrah. I have this on Jesus' word. Let me just read quickly these scriptures from Luke. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sowed, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. You've already shaken your head, yes, that our society mirrors the society of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Jesus says that's an end time society. That's what society is going to be like before he comes. You know, rather than saying, you know, our society is so bad we can't have revival, we can't have a move of God, we ought to say, amen, we're ready for a move of God. Amen, this is end time society, but Jesus also said he'd pour out his spirit in the last days, and it's time to get ready for what's coming. Amen. Amen. The end time is going to be like this. Here's another truth to take home. If you are in the world, you will be judged with the world. If it had not been for Abraham, Lot would have burned up, and his family burned up in Sodom. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in this world because I know what's headed that way. Right? Just passed through my mind, that old black spiritual. What you going to do when this world's on fire? Well, I don't want to be a part of that. Amen. Amen. If you're in the world, amen, you'll be judged with the world. That's why God, through the church, through the gospel, through the preaching, is trying to get people out of Sodom. It's just as much as he sent his angels to lead Lot and his family out of Sodom. God, I'm not saying I'm an angel, but you get the parallel. God sends witnesses and he sends preachers to do the same things to folk. Judgment's coming on Sodom. Let me take you by the hand and let me give you the gospel and tell you about Christ and bring you out of Sodom. Another truth to take home. Have convictions that keep you out of Sodom to start with. Don't have convictions that'll just make you miserable in Sodom. You know, one of the greatest mysteries, I believe it's true because the Bible says it is, that Lot, for all his love for Sodom and city life and indiscriminately raising his family, and I mean, who would choose Sodom to raise your family? But for all that, the Bible calls him a righteous man. How many knows that? It's because Abraham had so ingrained things within him. But what else does the Bible say about Lot, the righteous man? He vexed his soul living in Sodom. He didn't have enough conviction to keep him out of Sodom, but he had enough conviction he lived miserably in Sodom. Right? Let me tell you, God will give you enough conviction to keep you out of Sodom. Amen. Not to be miserable in Sodom. Music, would you come? Two more truths to take home. God is gracious to take folks by the hand. Have you ever seen him do it? How many has ever been in a service when conviction has reached out to somebody living in Sodom, take them by the hand and say, you need to get out of there? How many knows what I'm talking about? How many knows God is gracious? And I believe if you have lost loved ones and friends, pray for them like Abraham prayed for Lot. God's able to get them by the hand. Now, I know the truth. I know we have free will. And Lot even tried to get out of the angel's control. I want you to know, folks can jerk their hand out of God's hand when he's trying to pull them out. But if you'll pray, he'll take a hold of them by conviction. He'll deal with them to lead them out. How many's glad he took you by the hand, me by the hand? Amen. And then the last truth we got to take home, and I skipped it earlier, but here it is. On Jesus' word again, remember Lot's wife. That's a message in itself. He says this in Luke 17 as well. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Not only is Lot an example, his wife is an example. Lot is an example of how people get into the world, and his wife is an example of how people who have left look back and find destruction in their life. It always works that way. Christians who would look back towards Sodom will find themselves in Lot's wife predicament. I mean, we can try to understand what happened to her. Some say what God was raining down from heaven overtook her because she looked back and encased her. And you can go today and they got formations of stone. They say that's Lot's wife encased in the minerals and the salt. I don't know how it happened. All I know is she didn't make it to safety because she looked back. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. You know, you say, well, I still don't know about this thing about judgment. That just turns people off. Well, first of all, it's not our lesson. It's God's lesson that he gave. But I want you, as we close, I want you to consider one of the great soul winners of our time is a man named Ray Comfort, and you may have heard this, but he likes to use an analogy of parachutes. And he said, imagine a flight with two passengers on it, and the flight attendant walks up to the first, and she says, I'm going to give you something that'll make this the best flight you ever had. It's going to just enhance your flight. And she hands him a parachute. He said, well, this will enhance my flight. I'll put it on. And he puts it on. He tries to get comfortable in the seat, and it's uncomfortable, and it's heavy, and it's pulling this way. Not only that, people are pointing at him and laughing at him. He's over there sitting with the parachute on. Pretty soon he says, this really isn't enhancing my life. People are making fun of me. They're laughing at me. Now consider the second man. The flight attendant walks up to him and she says, you know, they haven't announced this yet, but this plane has went into failure. And in just moments, it's going to be breaking apart. Put this on and you'll be saved. He puts that on. He sits back. Oh, it's uncomfortable. Does he even think of taking it off? Does he say bad things about the flight attendant for telling him to put it on? And folks start laughing at him. Does he say, well, folks are laughing at me. This is horrible. I'll take this off. No, he keeps remembering the message. The plane's about to break apart. And this will save me. You see, the message of American Christianity is changing. And you can go to churches week by week that their total message is, this thing about Christ is a way to enhance your life, give you a better life, give you a better flight, give you a more enjoyable time, make you feel loved as you go to heaven. But you're giving a parachute to a man, say, that's a better flight. Folks will laugh, make fun. You'll find it's inconvenient. Inconvenient to serve God, inconvenient to love him. And I'm sorry, but that's our nature. But if you, on the other hand, say, yes, God is a God of love and mercy and truth, but God's also said there's a judgment of sin, and Jesus Christ living solely right here, that's still on the wall, losing your life, giving yourself completely, if you'll put on that parachute of serving Christ all out, trusting in his mercy, trusting in his blood, amen, when judgment comes, you're going to be saved. There's no promise of a better life right now in that. There's no promise of a better flight, but there is promise of something. Which of the two is going to keep his parachute on? The one with the warning. God knew that, and he gave us Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. Thanks. Praise the Lord. Would you stand? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the lessons of your word. God, may we take these truths home. God, bless your people. Maybe you want to use them, Lord, to stretch out a hand and grab hold of someone, or to pray as Abraham prayed in intercession till God intervenes. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Could we gather for a place to pray and let God's word soak into our hearts tonight? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Way of escape. What a God of mercy. God of grace. God of truth. Hallelujah.
The sake of